Failure isn't bad. It's actually encouraging. Be curious and interested in the other person. It's life, yeah. Nobody gets out of this alive. So what's the problem? Kya problem? To problem kya hai?
Oh, this seems fun. This seems interesting. Let me do this right now. Let's figure
That's
it out later.
That's how the book also happened. Have you ever seen like an animal kill more than what it's hungry for? Usko bhook laga, wo deer ko mara, phir deer ko khaya, bachchon ko khilaya, jaake so gaya. Hum kabhi sota hi nahi hai, bro.
Kubra Seth is many things. She's an artist, she's an author, she's an excellent communicator. But more than anything else, she's someone who can truly channel positivity out of the most negative circumstances and has a relationship with fear that is different from what I've seen most people have. All this and more coming up on my chat with Kubra right after this. I've thought a lot about how I would start this episode. And I want to start with, I would say, one of the most vivid memories I have of you in my life, which is, I enter this place called Soho House, and this person comes up to me and gives me this, hey, and like this light came towards me. It was nice and bright, gave me a big hug, and I was awkward, as I generally am in public scenarios. And I think back on that, like, that is my earliest recollection of you. You're this person who kind of walks into a room and suddenly everything kind of lights up. Has that always been the case? Have you always been that person? Like, walk in with that exact expression, like that exact grin which you have right now. Is that how you walk into every room?
I feel like I carry my pocket of sunshine with me.
So that makes sense.
I just love walking in with joy. And I've realized off late that if I can't bring that authentic joy to a room, then I may as well spend time with myself and reflect upon why I'm lacking that joy in the moment. So I've now learned how to say, no, I'm not coming. And thank God to the number of posts. Like, you look for Jomo. And then you'll find next 3 days of motivational stuff on Jomo. But I think the pandemic was such a great leveler because you really wanted to go out and you couldn't. And this was not just me. It was just the world at large. So it was nice because I actually got to spend time with myself and understand, why do I walk into a room with that kind of joy and effervescence? And then I say, no, I am that person. I enjoy being that person. And I think it dates back to me being in school. There was this cafe coffee day in Koramangala. And I used to be that person who was like, hey, hey, hey. And I would walk in and I would know the barista's name and the cashier's name and everybody over there. And then, we had those little speakers with those adjustable volume buttons. And I would be like, DJ, put that song. And it's like, Mata Hoa, hey. So it was just that energy because I was never really going out in the night or anything. So the day used to be my club.
Yeah. Bangalore used to have that scene. I remember Bangalore had this whole phase of there were places you could actually go in the day which felt
urban
like
nightclub. Urban Edge used to be.
Yes, Urban Edge.
Yeah, the Urban Edge. So I used to be there. I would never attend college, so to speak. Yeah. So I must have lied in my book that, I had a terrible college life. I actually found myself in Urban Edge, having a good time, but I was never really allowed to see Bangalore post-sunset.
Yeah.
So I used to always bring my sunshine throughout. I think that's where it started from.
How were you in school? How were you as a kid?
I think before I actually knew who I was, I knew I was bullied. And when you're that young, you can't really define what's happening to you in words. And I've just learned, I think, and I'm still learning how to use words, which leave these clear marks in your subconscious. I didn't know the power of words or communication as a tool back then. So when somebody said something to me that could be mean or isolating, I would take it to heart. I didn't know better. So I was bullied for my curly hair. I was called Medusa. I was bullied for the color of my eyes because they were different. I was called a snake. Then my name is Kubra, so then that became Kubra. So yeah, I've gone through all of that. Then college, then kids became smarter, so then it became Nobra, Wonder.
Yeah.
So
And I asked you that because, you know, the more time I've spent on dwelling on why I am a certain way, why I behave about, why I react to certain things a certain way, everything kind of goes back to childhood.
Yeah.
And extreme amounts of therapy also makes you always like, you know, I remember going for my first therapy session. I thought I'll breeze past the first couple of pieces about childhood and go straight to the problem which I wanted to address.
Yeah.
Then 6 months later, we're still talking about childhood, right? So, and the more I've tried to look at that, I'm like, there's so many aspects of how we behave, how we deal with our own emotions, just generally how we are.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to maybe it's the smallest of things.
Yeah.
That really happened when you were younger, when you didn't realize at that point in time how deep-rooted that would become. But I'm interested to know when that switch happened for you, when you went from being the kid who was bullied to saying, no, I'm this, like, I'm walking in, hey, DJ, play that song. When did that switch happen for you?
I think I was really fortunate because when I was 13 years old and I was switching schools after a really horrific time at a convent school in Bangalore, where I was again bullied by the teacher. I've got great luck with teachers, by the way. So this was the second teacher who was bullying me. And I remember I started wheezing over there. I used to break into rashes. I didn't know that. I would break into a fever just before the school bus would arrive. I would actually physically start like throwing up.
Yeah.
And it was crazy how physiologically the fear would like manifest itself. And I was so, like, so fearful in those moments of my life that I had gone into a shell, like, so, so, so deep inside. It was quite scary, so to speak. And I'm this person today who, like, speaks my heart out in front of, like, a million people if I have to, and I wouldn't care. And if I botched up, I'll say, oh, did you hear that? I made such a boo-boo. You know, that's me today.
Yeah.
But I could not hold a conversation with one person in the room, and that one person could be as dear as my mom. And during the summer vacation time, I was introduced to this place called Buoyancy in Bangalore. So it was in Jayanagar, fourth block. Ajit Uncle and Sadhana Kaikini were at the helm of this place. Ajit Uncle was a pharmacist, used to live in the Middle East. And I still remember these words as if they happened yesterday. You know, we found this little blurb in a newspaper on the right side corner. My mom made the phone call. He was a very warm, gentle human being. And he said, she's ours now. Bring her, Yasmin. Don't worry. She's ours. Bring her. Bring her, ma.
How beautiful.
And then my mom took me there. They met me. He held my nerves. He could feel my nerves jumping out of my system. And yeah, I started doing this 6-week personality development program. And I think that fundamentally like changed everything that I thought ill about myself into, you know, like failure isn't bad.
Yeah.
Because when I stuttered or stammered with my, you know, chart, we used to have a calendar thingy. So we used to like flip the pages of the calendar.
Yeah.
And we would give our presentation. It could be about anything. It could be about, I don't know, Mexico.
Yeah.
What happens in Mexico? What happens to, I don't know, how do you find camels in the snow? Whatever,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we'll open all of that and we would like share our stories with the class. And if you made a mistake, if you fumbled, if you stuttered, the class would like clap with twice the joy and vigor and say, yay, you can do it. Yeah, come on. Yes, Cobra, you can. And I thought, failure isn't bad. It's actually encouraging.
Yeah.
And I think that's where those little shifts in the mind started to happen. And I think that eventually became something that I took with when I went to like find my first job, when I changed jobs, and there was like some sense of responsibility that kind of like, you know, built inside me where I was responsible for my actions. I was responsible for how I approach a subject. Oh, if I made a mistake, how do I rectify the mistake? And there was a sense of responsibility that came in, and that really helped.
Thank you for sharing that, because there were so many things in that story that makes one think, right? Is that we all want to stick to the same lane as everybody else. We've been told to kind of stick to that lane, saying, look like everybody else, do what everyone's doing, take the safe path. And But what we don't realize is it's those exact things that make us unique.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the world's changing. I think it is changing a little. It is a lot better than it used to be. Maybe it's not as much as it should be, but it's...
Absolutely.
I think back from that time to now, it's this 100% difference, right? But also for you to realize that what you think are your flaws are actually the unique things about you that actually make you who you are, can actually make you succeed. For people to move from this point to that point is really tough.
Yeah.
And oftentimes when you end up talking to someone who's at that age, which you were at, the tendency to criticize yourself is so much higher.
Yeah.
Because, and now you're on, you're scrolling through social media, you're seeing how everybody else's lives are. You're like, oh my God, I want to be that way. I want what they have. You mentioned hair, just like how you look, how you speak. I remember I moved to Bangalore to boarding school and I came from Kakinada in Andhra Pradesh. I had a Telugu accent to my English. And so obviously you would be made fun of. In hindsight, the nickname I was given in school, which was Funky Dude, was not necessarily a compliment.
Oh, no.
Because I got the Shah Rukh Khan ka fluorescent shirt and cool ka chain with me. Not a great move. Not a great move, 17-year-old Dukirala. But yes, you visualize that right now in front of your eyes. That phase, actually, that's the most brutal phase, right? Someone who's between the ages like 16, 17 to 19, 20, that's when you get judged the most. Because, and I, obviously, different things happen to guys and girls.
Yeah.
But it's just generally, I feel that psychologically, you're really in that, like my parents call it the dark ages. Like, I was like so out of it and everything else because of just generally how much pressure I felt from going from a small town to a city. And so I kind of realized that you get judged less if you put yourself forward lesser. And so that was my way to kind of, so you went saying, okay, you know, for you it was amazing that you could use it as a tool to kind of become this person. For me, it was like, let me go into the background, let me hide. Which I feel a lot of people do, saying, as long as I'm hidden in the background, I won't get judged as much. I won't get, you know, I won't get called out for my accent or just how I looked or how I was this crony kid in school.
Yeah. No, but I also realized that, you know, when I used to go to this buoyancy, wonderful place, I used to be with a lot of children, but then I used to take the bus back home.
Mm.
So I would talk to a lot of adults.
Mm.
So I became that, it became very easy for me to like make a transition, to have conversation with children and to have a conversation with adults. And the adults didn't look at me like I was some sort of a, like you know, it's usually like, oh my God, kitna baat karti hai types, right? Yeah. But in the bus, I was entertaining them. So I would like,
amused by
this,
you.
This is calligraphy, uncle, and calligraphy. You can like go to buoyancy. And people used to bring their children to buoyancy. Yeah. And I was like this prachar system in the bus from Jayanagar to Old Airport Road.
There's something in your book, which when I was going back on my notes, and I realized that you talk about dealing with challenges, right? Because the more you're saying these are things that are happening to you, every new thing, every new opportunity brings its own set of challenges. And you've had a large set of challenges kind of gone through, and you still are the amazing person that you are. What is your way of dealing with challenges?
I don't know. I think it's like a game, right? At least for me, it is. I mean, you try to jump over that, you know, like one, like...
Hurdle
to the other. And sometimes it's too large. You fall in between. But you don't just throw your game and walk away.
Hmm.
You keep trying. You run faster. You run from, like...
Yeah.
You know, a longer distance. You go and you jump just at the edge. But you keep trying because you know the makers of this game like made it in a way that it's challenging for you.
Hmm.
I mean, imagine if it was just like,
you
know, one step after the other and then you save the princess in boring. I don't want to play a boring game. And I always looked at life like that, I think.
How do you really connect with people? What according to you is... And not to fake it, but you learned how to connect to people during that period in the best possible. What do you think were those elements that really work? Because you know, we often have people saying, I don't know how to go talk to people. I don't know how to have a conversation. And that question comes up a lot. And I think especially comes up people across, I think across ages, right? You could be like someone who's like 40 years old and might not be able to hold a conversation. How do you hold a conversation? How do you connect with people?
Oh, yeah. So... it started like in two different phases for me. One was me thinking only about me. So my conversation used to be about me. And I would have like this, that became like a, hey, hi, I am so-and-so and I do this and blah, blah, blah. Okay, all of that. And then I realized, oh my God, I am the most boring and most insufferable person in the room. And that was also a realization that came to me. And then I started praying to like the gods to give me patience and the art of listening, which I didn't have. I'm still learning that, by the way. It's a process. But I think it becomes a lot easier to converse with people once you stop putting, you know, like once you stop like removing these blocks in your mind. How do I sound? Am I asking the right question?
Yeah.
Am I, you know, just care about the other person. Be curious and interested in the other person. That's a nice shirt. Could be as simple as a conversation starter as, I don't know, like for example, even today when I'm passing through the airport and if I see, you know, like the armed of like the security forces who are there, I would always like look at them and say, sir, nice chashma.
Yeah.
Or like, ooh, ye muchi aapka real mein hai. Like I'll ask them this. So make it about them.
Yeah.
So the minute I think you make the opposite person comfortable in the conversation, you're giving them that room to give you something back. And communication isn't one way, it's two ways. So if you are concerned about, you know, starting it, allow the other person to start it. But just throw in a question. Like, it's like throwing some balls in the air.
Yeah.
One of the balls will like,
you
know, catch, right?
Yeah.
And whoever catches the ball starts the conversation. And there is a lot of pressure, I feel, about doing something that you're not. So if it's not coming to you authentically, then don't try to be that person. Yeah.
Do you think it also helps you be more confident? Because you're taking away the pressure of, oh my God, I got to like prove myself and talk about me. Tell me about you. Is like low pressure, not on you anymore.
Yeah, like, but I've also heard like somebody like, so what do you do? Which is like,
oh no, worst
one of the
ever.
Worst questions. Now I have a term for
it. As my daughter calls it, I do chatter.
Chatter. Yeah, I do buck. Yeah. No, but I'm just saying that this what do you do and what next syndrome needs to leave our culture. It's, I think, one of the most annoying questions that you think you can start a conversation with. I think you put the person on, oh my God, I have an existential crisis. What am I doing with my life?
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, ugh. No, I can't get through that kind of a conversation. But I feel like if your question is genuine, then people will, if it's in that moment, then it just plays out. It'll have a life of its own. It's like starting small on a bonfire and then putting like bigger pieces of firewood and then seeing this flame grow. And I think a communication should feel like that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't start with like, oh my God. So this is like great, right? So I was in Helsinki just now. And my friend and colleague, Laura, was telling me that a sauna is the only place where people actually let their guards down and have a conversation.
Okay.
And in Finland, they don't have small talk.
Yeah.
They cannot. So the first question would be, so how is the relationship with your mom?
In the sauna.
In a sauna. And it is very normal to have a conversation like that. And when she had set this as a premise for me, and we went down to eat a burger and she asked me, so what's happening? I actually didn't feel out of place answering questions about my family, about my work. They do not tiptoe around things. And I think in order to be a great communicator, you actually need to have the space to be a good listener because you don't know what's coming out of that conversation.
Yeah. While I was reading your book, which by the way, it's fascinating to read your entire story and journey. But what I was more fascinated by, even beyond story, was just how you wrote it. Because you had a journey which has had so many things that have happened to you. But you stuck to a line where at no point are you saying, no, this has happened to me. I want your sympathy. I want you to look at me a certain way. No, you said, this is what happened. This is how I dealt with it. This is how I was real about it. And this is the learning you can take away from this. Which at one point, I'm like, one second, that takes a lot of courage to do. To say, no, I'm not going to ask. Like it's, I'm not trying to get into that. But it's also, I call it courage because you're saying, I'm not asking for you to at some point understand or sympathize with me. I'm trying to make you understand yourself and how you can use this in your own life. And I found that to be one of the most valuable things out of reading the book is that there were things I was looking at and saying, I need to look at this a certain way. I need to look at certain aspects of when you turn to someone and you even like connect with them, how you should kind of behave. What for you was the toughest part to write?
I don't know. I think there were a few tough parts.
Hmm.
But like, I always think that I have a really terrible memory, especially about the bad things that happened. I forget them very quickly. I remember all the good things. So I'll remember like, oh, we had such a great time. I'll remember all of that. But like, if somebody really hurt me, I would be like, oh, I forgot. Like, it'll be like this thing that I've shut away and put away. So I think for me, it started off with like the dad chapter.
Yeah.
I didn't know who this person was. So that was a bit hard for me to write. But I felt I am honestly such an open book that I've never feared or been afraid to have these conversations. It's like, how is your relationship with your mother? I will actually tell you.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely didn't feel I had anything to be afraid of. And yeah, man, this is my story. And did you not just ask? So you perhaps do care.
Yeah.
So I would tell you. So I think it came from that perspective. But since I did feel at some point, like my journey of ayahuasca, I felt that was like, is it coming out as authentic as I felt it?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
That was a tough one because I wasn't sure if I was making it sound phony or like an out of this world experience, which it was. But I didn't know if it was coming out with as much authenticity as it should because I remember for, I think, 2-3 weeks after that, I was just like trembling. Like I could feel these vibrations all over my body. And I would just be like, namaste to people and keep distance from people. And I don't know if I could actually put that entire essence into that chapter, but I tried my best to be as honest as I could. Also, I never looked at the tough situations because they were gone. They were behind me. So I looked at them as chapters. So as I turned the pages, they were still like behind me.
Yeah.
And I used a voice of candor to speak about it because it's life. Yeah, nobody gets out of this alive. So what's the problem? Kya problem? To problem kya hai? You know? To problem kya hai?
You know? And I said it the way I did because there's a line in the book where you're saying you're living many lives in a lifetime. I thought it's an important line, right? Because you all try to say, this is my life. But you're going to explain your life in like one sentence. You have phases. You are different people at different times.
Yeah.
And as you read through it, you also feel that. You feel like, come on, saying, this is you in a certain phase and then you shift it to someone else and you become someone else. And the essence stays the same, but there's so many evolutions of that.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick one thing that I didn't see changing throughout, was that you like to take on opportunities in general. Like you're not like one of those like, oh, do I want to gauge if this is the opportunity for me to take or not? You're like, oh, this seems fun. This seems interesting. Let me do this right now. Let's figure it out later.
That's how the book also happened. Literally, if somebody said something that sounded interesting for a moment, I'm like, let's try it. We'll only figure out if we're going to fail after we try it.
Yeah.
But if I've already put my mind to it and said, ye to nahi hoga. Like surfing, for example, right? I tried surfing once in Pondicherry. So the 1 hour on land, I did. And it was 1 hour on the surf.
Yeah.
I must have done 10 minutes. Then I saw all these girls getting beaten up by the waves. I went to the bar, I got myself a drink and I watched them getting slapped. I was like, guys, I tried, no? Not for me.
Yeah.
But at least I tried.
I actually had a different experience with it. I had this, the guy who taught me, I've done only like some 4 classes so far. and the first guy, it's also about, I feel, the person who teaches you, which really helps. This is this guy who used to be the backstage manager for large concerts like the Elton John concerts, etc., all that stuff, and went through that life for a long period of time. And one day decided, this is too, I want to have a slightly more chill life, and becomes a surfing instructor. And now he travels the world. He works with a company that only does surfing classes in like a 5-star resorts, etc. So he doesn't go to like any school. And his way of teaching was, he was really funny. He would do this, do yoga, then do ninja, and like stuff like that, right? So you just shout to
go. I can imagine.
Because like you lie down on things in yoga, yeah, then you jump up, it's ninja. Yeah. And he made it so fun that I was like, oh my God, I want to do this every day. Even though I got smacked on the face many times post. And the second time, by the time I went back to the same place, he wasn't there. He'd moved to send me the email saying, now I'm teaching in, I think, the Caribbean or something like that. He was in Maldives and went to Caribbean. He's now all over the world. That's what he does for life.
I want to go to the Caribbean. That's the number. Okay?
That's the life. Yeah, I'll give you contact. Email ID, I shall
say. I met these two wonderful people in that sauna only. Brilliant they were. One was wearing a bucket hat. Two Japanese lads. I mean, I can't help it. I see another nationality. I need to start speaking. I'm like, hey, where are you from? He's like, Japan. I'm like, which prefecture? And he's like, Osaka. I'm like, oh, I love Osaka. I've been there and all that stuff. What are you doing here? These two guys were up from 5 o'clock in the morning. And they were only visiting different saunas in Helsinki because they want to take the concept of saunas back to Japan. Oh. I'm like, I want your life.
That is what you're doing?
That's all they were doing. And we were spending 2 hours in the sauna. Imagine they were doing this from 5 a.m. They were just busy. And they were like, so tell us about more saunas.
Didn't they get toasted by the end of it?
They seemed to be loving it. And then they would have gone, had like drinks in. And it's great because you're sitting in 50 degrees of heat.
Hmm.
Then you go and take a dip in freezing temperature water. And then you come back and do this. And then you do that again. And your blood is so warm that you barely need warm clothes to keep you warm because your blood is warm.
Yeah.
And that's something that they do. And imagine, I just met these two lads who experience saunas for a living. Like, that's the life.
Oftentimes, you know, you're in a new place. You move out of, like, I think even if in the same space, I've always found it interesting to look at what people on other tables do, seeing what I can learn. And because I would generally be the shy person, I'm eavesdropping. I'm listening to what people are talking about. Done like solo holidays, sit in one place, listen to people talking from different nationalities. And those interactions, I believe, teach you so much about people beyond meeting them in an actual social gathering where you're actually formally introduced. Because you're all putting up your I would say, your presentation mode face.
Oh, 100%. But how did solo traveling happen for you? Because I've never met another solo traveler.
Solo traveling for me was something I did very early on in my career. When I started off in MTV and Channel V, you were working 15, 20 day shifts. Because you're on a shoot schedule, you're doing that, you're on edit post that. And suddenly I would have one day when I would finish all my edits and I would say, guys, I'm disappearing for a few days. And I would just leave, I would get on a bus and I'd go to a Goa because that's all I could afford. And I would just go there, I would get off the bus and then I would just find one of those bike auto taxi guys and say, can you find me a place I can stay? And they would find me one random like guest house kind of place. And I would just go to place. I would just walk around, I'd find a cafe. I say that, give me something which people don't normally order for breakfast. And they would give me that. And I was this person just like loiter around. I would do that in Bombay when I couldn't afford it. Because I feel like oftentimes you believe that you can't holiday solo in the same city. I would come out of the MTB office, I would put on my headphones and just walk. And I'd find something which like, oh, I didn't know this existed here.
Is that because you were hanging out with so many people that you wanted to spend time by yourself? Like, was that the genesis of solo traveling for you?
I think so. And I also felt like I've enjoyed, and I actually learned this very recently. And it's like taken me 40 years to realize this. I did this entire exercise on purpose. I said, what are my core purposes in life? What is my core purpose is what I started with. And I worked with a coach and she said, nobody has a single purpose. You have multiple. So, and it started off with really mapping out and seeing, you know, write down all the things that give you a purpose feeling. I said, what does it mean? Like when you're doing something, does it make you feel like you have a sense of purpose? It doesn't have to be a serious thing. Doesn't have to be a career thing. It could be anything. So I wrote a long list down. And we broke them down into actually under headers. And one of my core purposes is to spend time by myself. It is one of those things that gives me that feeling I'm by myself. And I thought back, I'm like, even as a kid, I was that kid who wanted to play alone with his toys. I needed to do that. Are you the only kid? No, I have a younger sister. But she was 9 years younger. So that wasn't necessary.
You were the only kid.
I was an only kid.
9 years.
And I was too old by the time she was born for that to become a thing.
Yeah.
But I believe we often believe that a sense of purpose comes with what you do in your career. It comes in what you do in your, you know, something which is like substantial, has some. But when that came down, and that was one of the longest lists of things. Of things which I like to do by myself. Like I'd like to, you know, and it's not like meditation and all. Like meditation I can do 5 minutes. Like 10 minutes is what I can manage. I can't do longer than that. My head goes everywhere. But make me listen to music for like hours together by myself, I can.
Ah.
So it was like finding those tools. And I feel we don't often do that. We often tell ourselves that our purpose needs to be a career thing, which I also have. I have some of those, like sharing things which I'm learning with people is my thing. So when someone says, are you a content creator? I'm like, no, I just share stuff which I'm learning. I enjoy that. I'm like, I'm that into kid even now who wants to tell people, oh, I saw this meme. Have you seen it? I'm that person. There is this part in the book and I thought it was very interesting the way you put it. Is when you're talking to someone, you don't say, I am worried. You say, I am concerned. What's the difference?
I think for me, primarily, worry is when you can't do anything about it.
Hmm.
So you just sit and worry.
Hmm.
There's no action to solving the emotion of being worried.
Hmm.
But when you're concerned, you're actually making
an effort.
The tiniest little effort to do something about it. So for example, when it was the pandemic and we were reading in the news that people, migrants were suffering, people were losing jobs. I could sit in my house and worry all the time. And I also had enough to worry about because my cat was sick. I was driving him to the hospital every day to make sure that there is some progress in the way he was feeling. And I hoped he got better. And it was crazy. And that's when I remember speaking to Ashton. And Ashton was the one who told me, change the word. And this whole idea of using communication as a tool, not just because abhi hai words, humko sikhaya gaya hai, to just use them na. Like be lazy with the tools is something that I started changing. And when I put the actual meaning of the word, for me, it felt like I was doing something if I was concerned about it. Vis-a-vis, I can worry about everything. I mean, and I think today's generation's favorite words are the situations of being in stress and are being worrisome. I'm so worried. Stress hai, baba. Stress hai. Bahut stress hai. तो क्या कर रहा है उस स्ट्रेस का कुछ नहीं तो फिर स्ट्रेस में रहेगा ना इफ यू डोंट डू एनी आई एम हंग्री देन हैव यू थॉट ऑफ ईटिंग हाँ यस देन आई विल नॉट बी हंग्री बट देन स्ट्रेस को कम करने के लिए कुछ हैव यू थॉट ऑफ इट नो बट आई लाइक यूजिंग द वर्ड स्ट्रेस ना इट फील्स लाइक आई हैव अ ट्राइब व्हेन आई एम स्ट्रेस्ड एंड एवरीबडी इज विथ मी अच्छा यू ऑल्सो स्ट्रेस्ड हाँ ऑल ऑफ अस आर स्ट्रेस्ड
So it's a trigger, right? You're triggering yourself by using words with yourself. Because oftentimes you don't realize the words we say in our own heads are pushing us down a slope.
You're such an idiot. You're so stupid. That was so stupid of you. So I say, and this is not like for podcast, like I'm serious. I say this in life when I make a mistake. I say, come on now, that's so Kubra. Or can you stop being so human? I literally talk to myself.
When it's important to talk to yourself.
When I even stub my toe, I'll say, ouch, that's so Kubra. Because I am that person. I will go knocking doors, elbows. I am that person. Now, okay, I'm aware of that. So either I've also realized I do that when I'm in a state of stress. You know?
Yeah.
So then how do I... So that's one part... In the book where I wrote, I take as long as it takes to do a job. So I remember when, like, this happens to us as actors, when we're in the vanity van, when three ADs will come and ask you, how much time, how much time, how much time, how much time. So now I say as long as it takes. So I know what time I have to be there, so I won't inconvenience you.
But don't
But poke. Don't keep nudging, because it's not going to make it faster.
Yeah.
I understand you've got a job to do. But what eludes me from the fact that I also woke up to come and do a job only. So why would I want to sit here getting ready and do nothing?
Yeah. Would you call yourself a secure person?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm very secure.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a time when I used to be like, naak thoda teda hai. Then I'm like, nahi, achha hai. Then eyebrows thoda bushy hai. Haan, achha hai. Baal thoda curly. Haan, theek hai. Haircut kara lenge. Like, I feel everything that is considered to be, you know, a hurdle in my mind. And for me, it's not about physical. And I've also thought about it. Is it because in my head, you know, kaun hai ye jisne mudke kubra ko nahi dekha types? Am I that person? I've thought of it.
Yeah.
Like, am I in a place of that much privilege that I have no insecurities? I've thought of this. And then I said, no, but I've outgrown those insecurities at a very young age, perhaps, that today I don't let anyone bog me down by what they think. Like, is that what you're going to wear? I've been asked, for example. I'm like, no, if you like it so much, you can wear it. And it would be my instant response. And I'm not trying to, like,
push the other person down.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not trying to throw shade on them at all. Because I'm just like, hey, I'm so comfortable in this.
Yeah.
So, and I think people in general should learn how to accept compliments, give people compliments, make this world a better place. Because it's all it takes.
And criticism, you know, there's this thing, right? Giving you constructive criticism. Mm. There is a line where it's not constructive, but you in your head believe it's constructive.
Yeah. I am that person. Happens.
Very often, right? Turn around and say something, and you have to have people around you who will say, 1 second, you think you're being constructive, but you're actually pushing me down. You're actually not helping.
Yeah.
And that criticism also comes in your own head, right?
Yeah.
Like self-criticism 101, like gold medalist is me. Always criticize myself for smallest thing. Oh, I could have done this better. I should have said that. Go really in that sense. But what you said about the words we use,
yeah,
it's the words you use. It's the tone you have with your own self. We're saying, no, 1 second, it's fine. You know, if you didn't do this the way it should be done, you can either sit here and keep thinking about that and push yourself even deeper down that hole. Or are you saying, no, what can I do about it? You can be frank and authentic and saying, okay, I made a mistake. Shouldn't have said what I said. This is what I was trying to mean, and it came out wrong. Even then, it might not help things. But even before that, it's about you figuring out in your head that it's not your fault. It's not, as in, it is your fault, but it's not, don't make it worse for yourself because of it.
Mm. Yeah. Also, I think we tend to, like, look at ourselves from the lens of the other person when they're trying to criticize you.
Yeah.
Like, for example, this morning, I walked out of my car, was going for yoga, and I said hi to the paps who were there and then some other people, and the person who was walking with me said, oh, you're in a good mood. I said, but I'm always in a good mood. What makes you think otherwise?
Yeah.
So sometimes when you ask them that question, they're like, oh shit, those words came out of my mouth. And she really had no reason why she asked me that.
Yeah.
I was like, have you seen me grumpy? Have I done something to you? Like, and I was genuinely like, and she had no answer. It's like when you allow yourself to, like, be affected by the other person's energy, then it seems to, like, affect you at a much deeper level. I'm sure they have truth in what they have to say, but why don't we find out more? And I think when you reach a level of security in your head, then you're not afraid to ask that question. Sorry, I didn't understand. Could you explain
what you meant?
You meant? And I've realized most people don't have an explanation for the trash that comes out of their mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At which point do you let that, I mean, you're not letting that affect you, but it does affect you. Or has it stopped affecting you?
I think it does. Hmm. But now I just deal with it.
Yeah, better.
Like a bitter pill, you know? Haan, theek hai, but that I know now in my mind that that taste will last for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Ah, that's okay. I can deal with that inconvenience, but it was good for me.
It's like the chapter on Cuckoo, right?
Mm.
About all those comments, etc. I got. Yeah. And the way you wrote it. And I remember when I saw you in that role, and in my head, I'm like, one second, this is going to be like one of those things. You become jokes as well, or those powerful performance. And that chapter was literally saying, okay, I was hoping it won't be this, but this is exactly what it was. I thought the way you wrote about it was great, because you said that, you know, you made it a fact that, okay, this is how people are. It's, I'm not going to let it change the fact that you had a role which you really loved to do. You did a fabulous job with it. You enjoyed making it. Why would you let this? And I feel that's the thing, right? If you let a small piece of criticism dampen the whole value you have from a thing.
Yeah. No, it changed my life. It changed my career. It changed my perception towards the community. It made me an ally of the community. How many great things have come out of it? And I'm not going to let this nameless, faceless, bot kind of person who's going to tell me like whatever they feel like in however flowery, fancy, abusive their language can be. I'm not going to let them decide the purpose of that job. No. And I think most of the time when we're achieving greatness, we don't even realize we're doing it.
Mm.
It's only much later that it happens. And you're like, "Arey, haan, yaar, maine toh phaad diya wahan pe." And then you're like, "Sahi kya yaar, ye bahut acha hai yaar." Oh. But it happens much later.
Yeah.
And I feel that is true about so many things. I never felt that I'm going to be this human being when I was going through the personality development program. I didn't know that I'm going to be this person when I did, you know, my first role as a maid in a film called Ready.
Yeah.
It's not
that audition process in the book is the most fun incident I've ever read in a long time.
Hot maid
walks in and says, "You're the maid." "Yes, you are." Walks out. That's the audition. I'm like, that is like the most prompt, but yet like, because your build up in the book of you prepping for that moment when the director will walk in, see you, you will audition this way, walks in, says, "You're the maid." Okay. Walks out.
Yeah.
I don't think of a thumbs up also exists. So you're the maid, walks out.
Ye maid hai kya? Okay. He walked away. Like, ye theek hai. Walked away.
Where is everybody gone?
Bhaiya, gone ashram meeting Gurji.
And Pooja?
Gone with them too. भाई भैया हार्ट बीटिंग फास्ट ली भैया जी भागो ही वे
बोले इतना आसान है क्या सलमान खान की फिल्म में ऐसा काम मिलना
दिस इज आल्सो अ लाइन इन योर बुक व्हिच आई रियली लाइक्ड एंड आई वांट टू यूज दैट अ लॉट मोर फॉर माय ओन हेड व्हिच इज सेइंग आई एम इनफ
आई एम
एंड इट्स द सिंपलेस्ट ऑफ लाइंस बट आई फील इट्स सो इंपैक्टफुल फॉर एवरीवन हु इज फीलिंग लाइक दे आर नॉट
We're always expecting so much out of ourselves, like all the time, that we never think that we are doing our best in that moment. And I think it's really important to pat your back and say, "Abhi ho gaya na yaar, abhi chill kar." But it's so funny, you know, we keep saying, "Itna paisa mein itna ich milega," and that's a joke, right? But we don't realize ki itna energy mein itna hi kar sakta hai. You know, itna emotion mein yahi kharcha kar sakta hai. Itna bandwidth mein main itna hi seekh sakta hai. You don't think of it like that. You're always trying to, you're overachieving for who, man? Have you ever seen like an animal kill more than what it's hungry for?
Never.
Wo aisa bacha ke thodi na rakhte ki, oh, ye iske liye, ye uske liye, ye iske liye. You don't do that. उसको भूख लगा वो डियर को मारा फिर डियर को खाया बच्चों को खिलाया जाके सो गया हम कभी सोचा ही नहीं है ब्रो, हम रात में भी जंग लड़ रहे हैं, किससे लड़ रहे हैं, क्यों लड़ रहे हैं, व्हाई, व्हाट इज द पॉइंट, आई डोंट गेट इट. सो आई थिंक दैट सेंस ऑफ आई मीन इनफ इज लाइक शांति. लाइक आई नो आई हैव टू अचीव थिंग्स, आई एम एन एम्बिशियस कटलेट, आई विल गो एंड गेट इट, बट व्हेन डू आई सेवर व्हाट आई हैव अकम्प्लिश सो फार, व्हेन डू आई सेवर and apply what I have learnt and understood so far.
Yeah.
And I think that's that moment when I say I am enough.
You know, one of my favorite books which I've read in recent times was the book by Will Smith, Will.
Yeah.
And he writes about that one part where he was having blockbuster after blockbuster and he gets a call saying, I think he hit a certain number, I forget which movie it was, and his first response is, why didn't you get to the slightly higher number? And the other guy is like, are you kidding me? You have had the highest opening of all time, but you're like, why wasn't it slightly higher?
Yes.
And he talks about how he didn't really understand savoring the moment till someone showed him the mirror at that point of time. I feel what you said is that, right? He said, being satisfied doesn't mean you're not ambitious. Being satisfied is that you're actually enjoying what you've been able to achieve. Otherwise, what's the point?
What's the point? What are you doing it for? Yeah, I feel what's the point? Because I think we've forgotten that we're not here to prove anything to anybody. Mm. We're not here in this proving game. We're not trying to one-up anybody else in the system or ourselves for that matter. Kya competition hai ye? Thoda chill karo na life mein. And I think if you reach that level, then nothing really seems to affect you.
Yeah. You spoke about the fact that you like to learn from other people. And one of the questions I ask towards the end of every episode is, what's the best piece of advice you ever gotten?
I'm sure, like, for me, advices come when I'm least expecting it. So it's not like, come here, let me...
Give you advice.
Give you advice. I'm not going to take that at all. But I think I've learned a lot from my cat. You know, my cat does not care about who's visiting, doesn't care about who they are in terms of their public persona or what they've achieved. He'll walk in, assess the energy of the room. Mm. If he likes you, he'll come and he will say, okay, you can pet my neck, you can pet my back, I'll show you my butt. Then he'll take a turn, he'll sit in the middle, put his leg up, lick his butthole, and then be like, cool, I'm done with this, and leave and go and sleep. Or in the middle of this random conversation, you'll just find Shifu sleeping there because he's unaffected by the judgment of human beings around. Mm. So I feel like if I've learned something who is not human, but human in more ways than us, is that sense of self-assuredness.
Yeah.
You know, just like, I'm really not answerable to you for my actions. And why is it that we don't judge my cat for doing that? But if a child had to do that, or I had to sit there and lick my butthole, you'd be offended. I'm not saying I'm going that far with the learning, but I think it's a great advice if you want to absorb it.
Yeah.
Like, just be you. And people may be like, what is he doing?
Mm.
Or, haha, that is so cute.
Yeah.
You know? Or just be like, wow. And I think there is learning like that
all around us.
In every way. Like, I find learnings when I meet strangers on my solo trips. So my solo trips, for example, started because I used to travel and host a lot of gigs around the world. So I would always take 2 days or 3 days, like before or after. And I once met this 80-year-old woman who was living in Mauritius at this point and working at a dive shop so that she can go dive. And I was like, wow, diving has really no age. And just the fact, like, she's 80s, and literally she was like, no, my kids are doing what they want to do, my husband's no more, and it's my life. And just to own that,
yeah,
you know, this is who I am, came as an unexpected advice. Just doing nice things for people because you don't know how they're going to come back and affect you. Beautiful thing, the thing that happened recently. I have a friend called Natasha Moore, okay, and she makes cosmetics and she loves giving gifts. And her gifting game is next level, man. I don't even know how she gets there. Like, she'll randomly bring you flowers. And she's come to your podcast, but she'll bring you flowers. It's weird, like, ajeeb thing she'll do. So she brought me this really small itar. It was rose itar. And I was very happy with it. Small bottle. Now I'm sitting in this friend's house in Helsinki. And for me, it's a great privilege when somebody invites you to your house out of your culture. Because usually people outside your culture are considered to be people who have boundaries and walls and stuff. So when they open that door and invite you, I get really excited. So I went, I met Laura's parents. We ate a meal. At some point, she started talking up. She's a 70-year-old woman talking about her best friend. And she said, you know, when I went to India, I was looking for a small perfume for my friend. And I went to these shops and I kept looking for a small perfume for my friend. And they didn't understand what I was looking for. And I said, you may just be in luck. So something that Natasha Moore had given me, I went to my bag and I picked it. She put it on her hands, like on her wrist. She smelt it, and this woman started weeping because she remembered her best friend who passed away with cancer 2 years ago. And she said, this is my friend. This is my friend. And you brought my friend to life.
How beautiful is that?
And who would have imagined that something so sweet Natasha did for me in turn became a source of memory that that 73-year-old woman is going to remember for, I don't know, however long that perfume lasts her.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the power of goodness is. Just never be afraid to do your bit and move on, because it will come back to someone somewhere when you're least expecting it. Yeah, and that's probably not an advice, but that's an emotion and a feeling.
I think that's the best piece of advice, to just...
Yeah, just leave your goodness bits around. Of goodness around.
That would be the perfect way to close this conversation. But I have to ask my final question, which I ask
What's
all my...
What's my zodiac?
Not necessarily close enough, but we're putting together a playlist of tracks that people use or listen to when they are taking that moment to pause, taking that moment to reflect, find the time to chill. Is there a track you'd like to add to it?
I used to play a lot of S.P. Balasubramaniam. I don't know what you say. I don't know what you say.
Why am I not surprised?
I don't know what you say. I don't know what you say.
Perfect. I think that should be the abstract to add. Because so I have this photograph. You've triggered a memory in my head. My grandmother, my father's mother, when she was alive, always wanted to see him in concert. And she finally did see him in concert. I think that's the only like singer she wanted to take a photograph with. And that photo was there. And I remember she, about 5-6 years before she passed away. And I'm like, I remember that photo as soon as you said this. So you triggered that memory in my head. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
It's been fabulous. It might not have been what you expected, but we spoke about a lot of things, spoke about life. And as always, tried to make you talk about things that you might not have spoken about before.